With the first pick in the 2007 NFL Draft, the Oakland Raiders select quarterback Jamarcus Russell, LSU.
And here we go.
What is up, NFP? This is Wes Bunning, the Director of College Scouting here at the National Football Post, and you are listening to another installment of Draft Talk. We are up to version 13.0, and I don't know how we didn't have this guy on in one of our 12 previous podcasts, but this week we have on good friend Cecil Lammy of Football Guys, a senior writer there, and also NFL Insider at 103 ESPN in Denver. Cecil, what's going on, man?
How you living, Wes? I'm doing good. Always a pleasure talking football with you, my friend.
No doubt. And how does one, Cecil, become an NFL insider?
I don't know. Just like to talk, I suppose, and like to talk to people. You know, began with traveling to these All-Star games and just getting in good with some people. You're, you know, one of those people. And, you know, you just learn and you talk to people around the National Football League and you get your contacts and, you know, just keep looking into what teams are going to do. That's the great thing about football, is because the future is always in motion. And, you know, these teams' destinies are always changing and prospects are rising and falling. It's what makes covering the National Football League so much fun.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. And one of the things I want to bring up about Cecil, he is an expert fantasy football writer, besides, you know, his great voice that you can hear him on 103 ESPN. But Cecil, the one thing I respect you as a fantasy football guy, first and foremost, is it's not just numbers to you preseason. You're not just going through who had a good year last year or whatever. You know, you're on the road, not only at the Senior Bowl, watching these guys come in as draftable prospects, but you also do the dirty work at the East-West Shrine Game and also the Battle for the Rock, the past, Texas versus the Nation game. So you got a pretty deep understanding of these guys coming out as prospects, not only for you as a talent evaluator in the NFL draft, but also for fantasy football as well.
Yeah, and I think it gives me a great advantage at what I do from a fantasy football lens, because then when players go through and we go through the seasons where, you know, all of a sudden an undrafted guy or a guy that was at the NFLPA game, a fifth-round pick like T.J. Yates, and I would always chuckle when you hear even national guys be like, oh, who's T.J. Yates? I'll be like, oh, yeah, T.J. Yates. I remember talking with John Murphy about him at the NFLPA game down in San Antonio, and this kid coming out got some moxie, some toughness. So it really gives you a familiarity for the game. I love undrafted free agents. I love their story. So when I see a guy like Mario Fannin, again, from an NFLPA game, when I see picks that nobody was expecting, like a Pierre Garçon years ago at Texas versus the Nation coming out of Mountain Union, not a lot of people knew about him, but I did. And I was able to say with accuracy about his skill set, I was able to talk about that. So, you know, you have your hits, you have your misses, but it's just, you know, a part of that soaking it up like a sponge. I want to know these players. And in order to know them, Wes, I want to see them. I want to talk to them. I want to talk to scouts, see what the buzz is around these kids and see if they can make it in the NFL.
Yeah, I got you. And that's what makes our job so much fun, not only evaluating these guys for the NFL draft, but watching their career long term. Let's get into it, Cecil. We're talking three running back prospects for this year's draft. Two underclassmen, one senior at this stage. Most likely, all three will declare. There's been rumblings about LaMichael James from Oregon, Trent Richardson, the man-child. A lot of people think that that's the number one overall running back in the 2012 NFL draft. But I'm going to throw it to you first, Cecil. Your initial impressions from Trent Richardson, the running back from Alabama this year. Is this guy as good as people are saying?
Yes. I believe he is, and really, with me, it comes down to the violent running style that he has. I've often commented about Richardson, and we can say with certainty he was better than Mark Ingram. He was better than Mark Ingram last year when both were with the Crimson Tide. With Richardson, you have that angry style, and I've often said he's the best running back that I've seen coming out with this physical style since Adrian Peterson, and it's really high praise to live up to, but with a guy like Richardson, with that hard-nosed intent, he's not only a grinder, you know, that gets stronger as the game goes on, but he has big playability. He's one of those threats every single time he touches the ball. He's difficult to bring down. Basically, if you're a member of the secondary, you get sick of seeing this big guy come right at you. And it always comes down, and we're going to talk with all of these running backs, and anytime I talk about running backs, it always comes down to the feet. Give me a guy with the good footwork, because you can have the vision, you can have the speed, you can have the quickness, but if you don't have the feet, you're not getting anywhere. And you look at Trent Richardson and watch his feet. He's not, I don't want to say he's a dainty runner, but he is so light with those feet and able to turn and get back to top speed quickly. And again, with top speed, running with that authority and that striking power that we've come to used to from watching him at Alabama.
Yeah, and I think a couple interesting points you brought up with Richardson. This is a plus size speed guy. And typically, the running back position, a stopwatch position. That doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be overly successful if they run fast, but the guys that get run the fastest and are the biggest get drafted the highest. We think Trent Richardson is going to go extremely high. When you brought up Mark Ingram, when I watched Ingram on tape last year, I thought that they were similar prospects because I thought Richardson physically, athletically was superior. I thought Ingram, his feel in between the tackles was superior. I thought Richardson at times just tried to overrun people, tried to just run around people, didn't let his block set up, wasn't as natural. Fast forward to this year, I thought he's done a much better job being patient when asked to press the hole, allowing those blocks to set up, feeling his way through tight areas inside a phone booth, and then using that initial explosion, that burst, to get up to top end speed quickly and accelerate into the second level. And you typically don't see guys improve the overall vision and feel they have in tight areas, but I think this is just the maturation process of a running back like Trent Richardson, who throughout his entire career could make plays just because he was so much more physically talented and overly physical compared to everyone else trying to bring him down. So I have to give him a lot of props for that. And I think that was the one missing piece to his game that he's really put together this year. What makes him such a truly dynamic back, a guy that you can feature 20 to 25 times throughout the course of a game, that bell cow back that's really becoming almost extinct in the NFL.
Right. And it's so rare in this day and age in this National Football League where it's all specialists. You know, it's all running back by committee, it's part-time backs. Richardson is the workhorse and is a guy that you give him 25 carries. And I'm glad you brought up that growth in maturity as a runner. Oftentimes it may take some guys a little while to get used to that. Usually it's the fast guys. I rewind in several examples, but I'll rewind to Jamaal Charles when he was a rookie and he came out of Texas. Mm-hmm. It was always to the corner, trying to get to the edge. It doesn't work at the pro level. You have to maintain your patience, know the timing, when you're supposed to burst through that hole. And as we saw in the second year, Charles was much better at that. We've seen the maturation as a runner from Richardson already in college. So get him ready. He's right there. I wouldn't be surprised if he was top 15, top 10 pick. And again, in today's NFL, where we don't see that anymore, we don't see running backs, you know, three running backs in the top 10, that rarely happens anymore in the last 7 years or so. So Richardson is a throwback, and I think anyone that needs a workhorse, grinded out running back who can be a superstar at the NFL level, it's Richardson.
Yeah, this is a back, last point I want to bring up on Richardson, this is a back that you can treat like a rented mule. I mean, you can just absolutely run this guy into the ground. He wants the football. Gets stronger as the game goes on. Last thing I want to ask you, though, Cecil, you talked about his violent running style, the physical dimensions that he carries. He's not a guy that avoids contact. He loves contact. He breaks a ton of tackles. When I see this guy, I see a very good rookie year. I see a guy that is going to be a Pro Bowl caliber back for 5, 6, maybe 7 years. Much like Eddie George, though, in his physical running style, I don't see a real long shelf life to this guy. I see him hitting the wall pretty quickly and wearing down. With that said, I still would take a chance on this guy top 10. If I knew I got a bell cow back for 5 to 7 years in the mold of Trent Richardson, granted, I think he's going to wear down quickly once he gets, you know, those 300 carries per year for 6, 7 years, but I have no qualms with that at all. I'm still working this guy. Like I said, like a rented mule, I'm taking this guy in the top 10, even if he does wear down quickly toward the end of his career.
Right, and you look at what a strong ground game does to affect a defense and how you have to take an extra defender, bring it down to the box. Usually gives you one-on-one coverage with a high safety for your wide receiver. So having that true bell cow just helps out your team so tremendously. Also, in a battle of time of possession, we know that's very important to a lot of teams out there. And a guy that can just be, you know, we need this third and one. We need to keep this drive alive. Third down conversion, also extremely important to NFL teams. Richard isn't that guy. And also, you know, we see in today's age, rarely do we see the Ricky Waters, Emmitt Smith, Barry Sanders, Curtis Martin, these guys who had 10 years of 1,000 yards every year. Mm-hmm. You know, that just that doesn't happen anymore. So, you know, same arguments we had when Adrian Peterson splashed on the NFL scene, same things we'll be saying about Trent Richardson. He's going to shine brightly, but it may only be for 6 years.
Yeah. All right, moving on to the next guy. Completely different back, and we're talking LaMichael James from Oregon. Guy who's had some extreme production over the past 3 years. I believe it was 1,500, 1,600. I think he had 1,450 yards this past year with one game to go. Running in that spread read from Oregon. What do you like, dislike about LaMichael James, Cecil?
Yeah, LaMichael James, a guy that I could see certainly in a change of pace role, but he's a little bit more than that. I think people undersell him as far as his inside rushing ability. I talked about Jamal Charles earlier. When I see a back, and in this option, I remember, you know, trying to look at a Jeremiah Johnson or a Jonathan Stewart coming from the same program and the same system with Dennis Dixon back in the day. It's difficult to analyze because usually their holes are wide open in this offense, and they're outside, and it's a pitch, and they've got one guy to beat. Usually they can. So it is more difficult than analyzing a back from a traditional offense. But I look at LaMichael James, and I see quality inside running and the ability to set up defenders at the second level before he crosses the line of scrimmage. I mean, this is something the rare ones do, okay? Like your Marshall Faulks, these guys, these great ones, LeSean McCoy at Pitt, you saw it there. When you have the ability to take the football, do a shoulder dip, these ever so slight, just such sophisticated moves, before you even cross the line of scrimmage because you're making that linebacker move. You know how you talk about a quarterback moving safeties with his eyes? Well, running backs can move linebackers. They can move second-level defenders with a shoulder dip, a little half step, again, that little dead leg, and then take off the other direction. But you're seeing a willingness and a determination inside that you don't see from smaller backs. Now, people say, oh, this guy is just too small. I think that's a little bit overstated. We've seen some smaller backs have success in the National Football League before. I think you take James in a committee situation. He's a big play waiting to happen, not as fast as some people may think, but has that instinct and has the ability basically to toy with defenders. And I believe that scouts got their grade, and the NFL got it wrong with Quiz Rogers. We may see Atlanta, you know, not this year, obviously, with Turner still there, but we may see Quiz Rogers become the great value pick from last year. I think teams saw Quiz Rogers. They've seen what he's done this season in the National Football League, showing these flashes of brilliance. They're not going to mess up the same way they did with Quiz Rogers. And I think James, just on a standard skill set, is better than Quiz Rogers. They're not going to mess up. This guy's going to be probably a late second-round pick, and somebody's going to be very happy with him.
No, I think that's a good comparison because we've seen in flashes Quiz Rogers. He was a fifth-round pick, I believe, with the Falcons. I would say LaMichael James is a plus prospect when you compare him to Quiz Rogers because of his ability to make people miss consistently. And you talked about that short area quickness and his ability to just drop his shoulder and accelerate in the other direction. This guy picking his way through tight areas, we talk about him, you know, can he make the transition to running in between the tackles? Well, I don't know if he's physical enough to consistently break tackles, but if you need someone to pick your way through the line of scrimmage, I think this guy has a natural feel inside. Plus, when he's able to get out on the edge, he consistently can make people miss. Also will catch the football out of the backfield. He can help out in the punt return game as well. You look at the overall physicality of him. I believe he was 175 as a sophomore, came in this year about 195, and he didn't look quite as dynamic as he was at 175, but it was still certainly enough for him to make plays, go for over 1,400 yards. And there was a lot of yards. I believe he only rushed for 53 yards against LSU, and that was the tape I graded, one of the tapes I used to grade out on LaMichael James. But there was a lot of plays that were completely broken down, and he just had to create something out of nothing. And I love a back that can do that, plus his ability to catch the football out of the backfield. I think he's a situational guy at the next level, but can be dynamic in a limited amount of roles. I'm talking 5 carries a game, couple catches out of the backfield, also help out on special teams, and you add them up, he's getting 10 to 15 touches a game and creating big plays because of it.
Yeah, and we also saw toughness from Michael James. Yeah. I mean, how many guys would have just shut it down after that? I don't even want to think about replaying that gruesome elbow injury. I mean, how many guys would just been like, that's it, I'm done. And you see James come back and play well. Ball security, not necessarily an issue. And I see a little bit of Thurman Thomas in this kid, because you talk about that, the phone booth quick, and the jump step, that little mm-hmm. hop cut. And, you know, guys will remember Thurman Thomas at OSU and then his time with the Buffalo Bills. He'd get behind that offensive line and he'd just do that little hop, and all of a sudden he had a small window, and he can get skinny. And LaMichael James already small. He's no problem getting skinny. Little jump cut, bam, explode, big play. That's what James is all about.
When you watch LaMichael on tape, Cecil, how fast do you think this guy is? I thought he was a mid to high 4.4 guy when I was watching him.
Yeah, I would say about the same thing. You know, I don't know if time speed, I don't believe he's going to blow anybody away with his time speed. I believe he'll be a little bit faster than some people think. But for me, it comes down to pad speed and that explosion. You know, do you get to top speed in a hurry? And it's what makes a special runner at the next level. You know, Terrell Davis, I think, here in Denver for the Denver Broncos, he was like a 4.6 guy. You know, he was never fast, but mm-hmm. he got to top speed in a hurry. And it creates bad angles, because we know football, a game of angles. Defenders are coming at you. They think they've got the angle on you. All of a sudden, you're faster because you got up to top speed quicker than they anticipated. And that's why I think LaMichael James will really stand out.
Yeah. 3 years of elite production at one of the top schools in the nation. You said late second round. You know, I wouldn't be surprised at all if, you know, that's the case, especially with these dynamic sub-package guys. And you're talking the NFL being a niche group now. You want niche positions. There's a lot of niches that LaMichael James can find. Moving on, Cecil, the last guy we're going to talk about, and in my opinion, the top senior running back in the class right now, obviously outside of all juniors, but that's Doug Martin, the running back from Boise State. I call him the Coke machine at about 5'9", 215 pounds, low center of gravity. What do you like, dislike about Doug Martin from Boise State?
Yeah, and you look at Martin, I'm not going to say Maurice Jones-Drew, because he's not as fast as Jones-Drew, but you love the determination, the acceleration, straight line speed, and that low center of gravity, and really, it cannot be understated. You know, people say, wow, football is such a complicated game. No, it's real simple. Can you tackle me or not? And mm-hmm. with a guy like Martin staying so low and keeping those knees high, as a runner, if you go low, if you're a corner, you're coming up from the safety position or whatever, to get at Doug Martin, he's going to put one of those knees right in your chin strap, all right? You're not going to want to tackle this guy. He's already difficult to wrap up anyway. You talk about his frame, really a bowling ball with legs, and we've seen several of those backs have good success in the National Football League, and coming from that system, I mean, you know a guy's going to catch some passes for you and had to there at Boise State because they love to pass so much. And you talk about the low center gravity and the quick twitch ability. Now, he's not the greatest quick twitch guy, but he does cut very hard, and I appreciate that. I remember talking to people years ago about Trung Candidate. I remember him from Arizona, and different size, but, you know, same thing, smaller back, but so fast, but always had to gather himself when he would change direction. And it would take him 4 or 5 steps just to change direction because he had to throttle down. Well, Martin, good speed, not great speed, not MJD speed, but the fact that he can take 1 foot, step, cut, and explode, go. That's what it's all about, forward momentum, forward progress in the National Football League. I don't care if you're fast. If you've got to throttle down and change direction, it does you no good. With Martin, you have a low center of gravity back who runs hard, runs hot, and is very difficult to bring down. Plus, when he does change direction, he doesn't lose much speed, and that makes him stand out for me. As you said, a favorite senior back and best senior back this year.
No, I agree 100%. I love that point when you're talking about backs and receivers, that when they try to change direction, they start to gear down. Reminds me of the cartoon with the Roadrunner when he's trying to stop and he put the brakes on. It's those backs trying to change directions. Doug Martin, when I watch him, honestly, I compare him, and I think he's a similar style runner to a guy like Mark Ingram was last year coming out of Alabama. A guy who has a great feel inside, can stop and change directions on a dime. Is he a burner? No, but he accelerates well. He breaks breaks tackles, runs with that low center of gravity, and I think he's one of the few backs in this whole class, not only just the senior class, well, actually, I think he's probably the only senior back, but has the ability to take the pounding and carry a workload in the NFL, 15 to 20 to 25 carries a game, gets stronger as the game goes on. Plus, he's got a good feel in pass protection as well, and that can't be overstated enough. When you have a guy that you can play on three downs, you can catch the football, but can stay in the backfield and help out in blitz pickup. Honestly, there's not too many negatives about Doug Martin when I watch him. And I think this is a guy who can come in, he can play a role early as possibly that number two guy, and much like Sean Green, slowly mature into that number one guy and be a solid NFL starting running back in the NFL.
Yeah, I could definitely see him being a starter. Now, not right off the bat, he's a top 110, a top 100 pick for sure, mm-hmm. in my opinion. This puts him somewhere in the mid-rounds. What that presents, Wes, overall is value.
Oh, no
okay?
doubt.
This guy's going to go to a team that already has an established starter, and he's going to learn, and he's going to have some spot duty. So rookie year, maybe not much, but the future very, very bright for this kid. And in injury situations, we've seen it all across the National Football League, running backs dropping like flies. Well, if you've got a starter that goes down and your backup's Doug Martin, you are more than fine.
Yeah, no doubt. This was situation, last thing, with Roy Helu this year. You know, no one knew who Roy Helu was, well, besides, you know, the guys that are on the road looking at these guys. But guy steps in, makes the most of an opportunity. Hey, he's a pretty good running back. Ends up being very effective down the year, and he'll probably end up going in the year as a starter. That's a similar type situation I could see Doug Martin playing into next year.
Yeah, and there's several coaches, and it doesn't matter. We talk about system-specific, you know, and there are certain backs that are system-specific. Martin's not that guy.
No.
No matter what you run, he fits. You know, if you're running that spread system, if you like to spread it out like New England does, you go shotgun 70% of the time like the Lions do, or if you're a traditional run team, if you're run heavy like John Fox in Denver, guess what? Doug Martin fits all those systems.
Yeah. No, no doubt about that. And that about wraps it up for this week on Draft Talk, version 13.0. My guest, Cecil Lammy. Cecil, why don't you tell all our listeners today before you get out of here all the many places they can find you on the World Wide Web?
Yeah, numerous places. DenverPost.com, DenverSportsStation.com is my radio website for 102.3 ESPN. Also, FootballGuys.com if you want to check out my podcast, The Audible Top 10 on iTunes, baby. Where we talk football all year round, and also do my pre-draft write on the New York Times sit-down blog. So I'm all over the place, Wes.
And you can find all the links to Cecil below on the article, as well as you can follow him on Twitter, at Cecil Lammy. Is that correct, Cecil?
Yes.
There you go. Cecil, again, thanks for joining me, buddy. And Draft Talk will be back next Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. We'll have a new special guest. I doubt as good as Cecil, but we'll try our best to find someone in that same class. Have a good week, everyone, and a very Merry Christmas.